Merry Christmas. This is the moment we have been preparing for. This evening, we worship Jesus, the newborn King, the light of the world. We light candles representing hope, peace, love, and joy, all gifts of God. The center candle represents Jesus, who is the greatest gift of all. Psalm 96 reads, "Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous work among the peoples. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised." Jesus came to us as an infant, born in the humility of a stable. Jesus left this world by the humility of the cross. Light has overcome darkness. Hope has defeated fear, and love wins. Please pray with me. We have been waiting this day, loving God. Let us live as those who let hope, peace, joy, and love reign. Let us live with Christ's light guiding our way. Amen.
I invite you to join me in prayer. Lord, come, come by your Holy Spirit on this night, not simply as a babe from a story, but in all the reality that you are. Come, be our peace. Come, be our hope. Come, be our light. Amen.
Hear these words from the Gospel of Luke. "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
And there was in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace, to those on whom his favor rests.
And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told to them concerning the child. And all that they had heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and pondered them. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told to them.
In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that light was the light of all humankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, To those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. A few weeks ago, on the occasion of my brother's 50th birthday, I had the opportunity to see my nieces and nephews that I have not seen, some of them for a long time, because they live in all kinds of places. They came from as far as Edmonton, Alberta, and New York City, from the pressure of a medical residency, from the cash registers of a Sam's Club, from a long walk. And the seven-year-old, well, she came from the ice, where she is a hockey holy terror. I believe that she will be an enforcer when she grows up. As George, my husband, and I were driving to see the family, and especially these nieces and nephews, we talked about what we would ask them. And, well, some of the typical questions came to mind. Perhaps if you are a young adult and you are seeing family members during these days, you've heard them. What's up? What's up? You know, how's the work? How's school? You know, you get those. And I'll tell you, if you're a single person, I was a single person until I was 56. You get that question, well, seeing anyone? See anyone special? Can I shout out here? Any single people heard that? So, you know, I heard that for so many years. I'm a pastor. I want to say to them, for heaven's sakes, I'm a pastor. I see someone new every week. You know, I just, you know, are you seeing anyone new? I mean, so we decided, George and I, that we would think of some other questions we could ask. So we're driving along and we thought of some questions. So what have you risked recently? We decided we would ask, so is there someone that you work with that you really like, and why do you like to work with them? What we were going to ask, what gives you joy? And we wanted to ask also, what are you afraid of? And you can go global or personal, whatever you want to do. And so we came to the party and we split up. And as I told my 30-year-old nephew, I said to him, consider it speed dating with your aunt and uncle. So we don't have a lot of time. And so here's the thing, is when we got a chance, every time we got a chance, we would take one of those young adults and we would ask a question. And here is the amazing thing, is they told us the answers. It was incredible. I'm just going to talk to the parents out here and the grandparents for a minute. If you've got young adults in your life and you want to know something, you might want to think about the questions you're asking. Just put that out there. Now, kind of think about those questions. And for you young adults who don't think you know enough about maybe that right? Maybe you don't want to know enough about that, you know, kind of crazy uncle, but if you want to know something, what questions are you asking that might get to that? So we had split up, so we're driving home. We just learned so much. We learned more than their parents. You know, it's just, they spilled. It was amazing. We heard the joy of a new love that no one knew about yet. We learned about the kind of the pain that comes with dating. We just learned all kinds of cool things. And George said, you know, I think people just want to be heard. And I thought to myself, you know, it's more than that. I think the people we all carry around with us, joys, hopes, and we carry fears. It's this mixed bag. This is real life. This is what it is. And isn't it true? As we sit here this evening, we've got some fears. Now they're all going to be a little bit different. For some people here, I mean, the global realities that can cause fear, they hit you viscerally. So your fears might involve the state of this world in terms of natural disaster or global warming and its effects. You may have a heart and worry about those who have been displaced by war and terror, either internally or as refugees. You might be worried. about leadership in our nations and about political discord and you may be worried about the economy. I mean, there are all kinds of big things out there that we can carry. Or perhaps your fears and worries come in a little bit closer. And they have to do with things that are close to home. That are you on the right track? Are you doing all that you had dreamed that you would? And there's worry about that. And you might be worried about the people who aren't going to be here at Christmas. And quite frankly, you might be worried about the people that are sitting around you. You may be worried about little things like, you know, that kind of bizarre Brussels sprout recipe that you found and you're going to try tomorrow. Come on, you should have practiced it. And you might be worried about the gift that you're giving that, you know, like really, you know, I am giving this gift card from the heart. You know, I hope they like it. You know, you might be worried about some bigger things like, will love come my way? Am I a person who belongs somewhere? Will this medicine I'm taking finally help? Or will that person who I care for so deeply get help for that addiction? We got so much out there to fear. But I think that we can balance that with hope as well. Because don't we all hope for things? For some of us, it's simply being parents, whether our children are grown or they're growing, that we want the absolute best for them. We hope the absolute best. We hope that great people will rise up in this world and in goodness and kindness and compassion make a shift so that others might be touched and this world changed. We hope in our lives that we're making the right decisions, that we're traveling down the right road. We hope that our families along and our friends are along with us. Oh, we are a people of hope. And so as we come tonight and hear again the story of Jesus' birth, what we might say is that is all just fine and dandy. But I live here in the real world where hope and fear mix and are part of my life every day. Well, I'd like you to think about Bethlehem a little bit different than you might if you've been recently looking at a Christmas card, because it is different. Think about that picture. Whatever your picture is of that first Christmas, it usually involves like a blue. There's a blue color, I think. And there's some stars, and it's all very quiet. And in the stable, everyone's got like clean clothes on, pressed. Kind of pastel is the color of the day. The baby is in hay, but the hay is all just kind of nice, like around. And the animals have little smiles on their faces. And the shepherds are just kind of posed majestically out in the field with a few sheep scattered around. And the angels are singing. And there's like this recessed lighting. Who knows where that comes from? That just lights up everything. And there's a drummer that will not stop drumming. And that's what we think about at this. And quite honestly, this story, we'll tolerate this story until about December 26th, and then we're back to life, okay? But I want to tell you about the reality that happened in Bethlehem. And I'm sure I'm just reminding you of this, because it was a place of fear and of hope. Consider the fears. Mary and Joseph, young and out of place in a city that was not theirs, in a very, very rural time where people kind of stuck to their own villages. There they were, alone, without family to help. And this is what was going to happen, is within a couple of years, they would have to run from there, and they would end up being refugees in Egypt. Well, they understood what that meant, to be driven from their nation in fear. And for the shepherds, oh, shepherds was not a life ambition the parents had. It wasn't their hope. The shepherds, I'm going to give a shout out. It's kind of like, you know, you hold your child in your arm and you say, I just hope you'll be a professional banjo player. It's my dream for you. You know, it's like, I just hope that you'll be a shepherd. It's not what would happen. And so what do those shepherds do all day, all night? They watch for predators. They watch for thieves. They were ritually impure, so they couldn't worship communally. They were outcasts. They were on the outside. It was a terrible existence. I mean, the angels showed up and said, "Do not fear." And they're like, "Fear is our life." You know, and on top of that, you got this whole low rumble of oppression because you've got a Roman government. We call it a Roman peace, Pax Roma, but it's a kind of peace that's held together by violence and threats and fear. And so there's this kind of low rumble of fear that is over the entire area. This was Bethlehem. But it was also a place of hope. Because the prophets had spoken to the people there and they remembered what the prophets had said, that a Savior would come one day, a Messiah, an anointed one, one who would save the people, one who would be the light in the darkness, one who would come and set them free. And Jesus came, now not as they expected, not as a warrior king, but came in humility and grew to be compassionate and merciful and to reach to those who truly lived in fear and in sorrow and in pain. I would suggest even that Jesus came for the real world where fear and hope meet. It's as if God's time kissed our time and said, "This is the right place to be." And so Jesus meets us in the midst of whatever our fears are and no matter whatever our hopes are. Back in the 1800s, there was a guy, his name was Phillips Brooks. He went to Harvard, tried to teach Latin for a while. That didn't work out, so he became a pastor. And he was pretty good. He was a good preacher. So he got a good church in Philadelphia, Holy Trinity Church, and he was making a name for himself. They were printing the sermons in the newspapers. He was great. 1861, the Civil War came along. He continued to preach and inspire, but as the years went on, he got tired of the pain. And he lost his ability to inspire. It was as if the wind of the Holy Spirit went out of his words, and his heart ached. It looked like the war was going to end soon, and there was good news in April of 1865 that there had been a surrender at Appomattox, but the news came right on its heels that Abraham Lincoln had been assassinated. Because he was a good preacher, and really not because he'd ever met Abraham Lincoln, they asked him to preach at his funeral, and he preached there. You can look it up, read his sermon. It's a great tribute to Abraham Lincoln. But what he wrote in his journal was that even then, he was simply rising to the occasion with his words, but his heart was not in it. So by the end of 1885, he decided he needed to take a break, to take a sabbatical, to leave, to find inspiration in God's Spirit. So he decided to go to the Middle East. And so in 1865, on Christmas Eve, he found himself in Jerusalem. Now, he was there, the number of Americans, and he was getting a little tired of them. They were getting on his nerves. So he borrowed a horse, and he rode out into a field. He rode out toward that, it's about 6 miles away from the center of Jerusalem. He rode out toward Bethlehem. And as the sun set, he looked up into a clear sky in the darkness, and he started to see stars. And he thought to himself, "I am near the place where Scripture tells us that the shepherds were here in these fields and the angels sang." And he neared the village of Bethlehem and he heard singing coming from the Church of the Nativity, a centuries-old church. And he heard that singing and his heart shifted. And he felt once again the awe and amazement of the one who had come to save. So he went back home and he continued to preach and he wrote a poem. And the poem became a song. It's O Little Town of Bethlehem. We're going to sing it, and I invite you to sing this prayerfully. And you will hear in the first verse that the hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. Tonight for us, Jesus comes in all of our fears and messiness. Tonight, Jesus comes in all of our hopes and dreams and meets us.
Please join me in prayer. Oh God, it's hard to imagine how all of our hopes, all of our fears could come together and to meet you in that place. We look around and there's something we're seeking. We want to overcome the pain, the suffering that we feel. We want the world to change. But sometimes we want it to change the way we want it, forgetting that we are called to follow you, to see a change that is made because of you. And so you tried a different way. Rather than send another king to rule over us, you sent a small baby, came into the world just as we did, innocent, tiny, needed to be cared for. And when we look at our fears that sometimes overwhelm us, we look to that baby. We look to the love that came down, to the light that continues to shine. And as that child grew in perfection, was love, pure love, brought a light into this world that darkness cannot overcome. There is nothing so dark that we cannot see the love of Christ in our life. And as we get closer to the morning of your son's birth, and we celebrate this evening with songs, may they not just be on our lips, but they fill our hearts. And as we raise our voices in prayer, may we hear those words that Jesus shared with his disciples when they were confused and wondered how they should pray. And Jesus guided them and told them, pray like this, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
So Jesus is the light that came into the world, and the darkness cannot put it out. That's what draws us here tonight, is that reality. And so, with that gift of light, Jesus calls us to hold the light and to carry it out into the world, and we celebrate that. We light candles and sing Silent Night, and so you'll receive from an usher, from a neighbor, from a family member or friend. Now the light, as we pass it, I invite the one who is holding the light, the candle, just kind of keep that straight up and let someone lean in and grab that light like this. Merry Christmas. Go in peace. Amen.